Josh, did I hear you say you're expecting in January? Well, I brought a cell phone with me this morning. It's turned off, but I'm under strict orders as soon as I'm done preaching to turn it back on. Because September the 18th, my wife is due to give birth. But due to her, how shall I put it politely, girth and recent Braxton Hicks pains, we wonder if it won't be sooner. So as soon as I'm done, I'm going to turn that phone back on and beat a hasty retreat back home. By the way, Josh, why do you hate education? You were talking about the lottery and gambling. Don't you remember what our government officials told us? It's the education lottery. Ladies, does your husband have a mistress? Two? Three? No. Well, he's home all the time. Maybe he's seeing her at home. Maybe he's seeing her at home while you're there. But she doesn't even have to actually come through the door if she's coming through his computer screen. Parents, is your 8-year-old, 11-year-old, 14-year-old child who you love more than life itself, is your child seeing things at a friend's house, or maybe in their bedroom, or maybe in your own living room late at night, things that will harm their psychological development, harm the way they view the opposite sex, harm the way they view marriage and what to expect out of their spouse? I hope not. But there is a chance that is occurring. I love the English language. I love words. And one of my favorite words is ubiquitous. This afternoon in Norman, when OU takes the field, there will be a sea of crimson and cream-clad Sooner fans. And those colors will be ubiquitous everywhere as far as the eye can see. Pornography is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. About a year ago, I saw an interview, and it was on C-SPAN because I'm a C-SPAN nerd. The fellow who was being interviewed, I don't recall his name, but he was one of the gentlemen who 20, 30, 35 years ago started laying the groundwork which helped develop the communication lines and computer systems which actually helped to develop the internet. Now, it wasn't Al Gore. It was the other guy that helped Al Gore. But this gentleman said, and I didn't realize it until he said this, but this gentleman said, it came up in the course of this interview, that out of all the websites there are, roughly 1 out of 3 is a pornographic website. Now, pornography can arise through various media, and we'll talk about that, but primarily the culprit today is the internet. So that's primarily what we will focus on this morning. Earlier, Dad mentioned in his prayer Sodom and Gomorrah. And since we're talking about morality so much and the home under attack, with the enhanced communication capability in the United States, 10, 15 years ago, I thought fax machines were going to be the end of it. I thought it couldn't get any better than that, that I could be at the post office in Elk City, put a piece of paper into a machine, push some buttons and place a phone call and send it to Dallas. I mean, that just, it still amazes me. Of course, I'm amazed by indoor plumbing, so I'm a simple guy. But with the enhanced communication capabilities we have, we can bring the world here. I mean, what I'm saying right now could be broadcast live anywhere on the planet Earth. And it made me think, Dad mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah about a decade ago. Former Judge Robert Bork wrote a book called Slouching Towards Gomorrah. And in that book, he talks about the enhanced communication capabilities and technology that America has enjoyed. But he talked about the evils of that and how it has enhanced immorality. And it's helping to tear down society in so many ways, pornography being chief among those. Kind of reminds me of the Tower of Babel, where everybody was together, spoke the same language, and so they got together and created bad things. Well, with the internet, that's almost the same situation. And we're seeing a lot of bad things, chief among those, pornography. 1 in 3 websites. Pornography versus the family. First, some definitions. What is pornography? This can actually be a tricky thing to come up with a satisfactory definition, but for our purposes this morning, we'll stick with Merriam-Webster. Material in still photos, audio, and video of a sexually explicit nature meant to produce sexual arousal. Now, this can come in the form of still photos, which up until a few years ago was one of the leading producers of pornography, or carriers of it. We're talking about things like Playboy, Penthouse, Hustler, nude models, posing often suggestively for the enjoyment primarily of men. And again, pornography can affect both men and women. That is, both men and women can use it, can be addicted to it. But primarily this morning, we're going to be talking about its effect on men because they are the primary target and users. Still photos. Second, audio. 800 or 900 phone numbers. I mean, you've got to be careful today when you're dialing long distance, because if you're trying to reach a business or maybe a nonprofit entity and you dial the wrong number, I think this happened to my wife not too long ago. We had trouble with a warranty on some product, and she was trying to dial to get some product information, and she dialed the wrong number. And guess what was on the other line? It wasn't the Butterball Turkey hotline. It was somebody asking if she wanted to hear something, and she didn't, so she hung up. And number 3, video. Now, again, until the last decade or so, that's meant movies. And one of the things that always strikes me, do we have any Texans in the audience? When I drive into your state, one of the first things you see down around Gainesville is this big barn-looking structure, and it talks about adult movies splattered across it. Those are seemingly everywhere in Texas. I was born in Texas, so I'm not picking on anybody here. Until the last decade or so, when we're talking about video pornography, we were talking about movies, things you would have to pay for, like on Showtime or Cinemax or HBO or the Playboy TV channel, or going out to one of these CD video stores with your dark sunglasses and hats so nobody recognizes you. Unfortunately, although the internet has brought so many wonderful benefits like broadcasting, well, just information. You can see the president give a speech today anywhere in the world if it is being streamed online. You can watch a lectureship. You can attend the Online Academy of Biblical Studies from anywhere in the world. Wonderful things can occur online, and awful things can occur online. Well, that's our definition of pornography. Let's talk about the family, because this lectureship talks about the attacks of the family, and specifically, right now, we're talking about pornography versus the family. Who's the family? Well, first of all, you've got dad. He's the head of the household, according to Ephesians 5:23. The husband's the head of the wife. And since the only other family members are below them, that leaves dad as the head of the house. He is the primary breadwinner, according to Genesis chapter 3, verses 17, 18, and 19. In the sweat of his face, he earns his bread, takes care of his family, and is the primary breadwinner. That's dad, the head. Then comes mom, and she is the queen of the castle. Or as my grandfather used to say, the dad, he's the head, but the wife is the neck, and she turns the head. Mom is the queen of the castle. She manages the household's day-to-day operations. In Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, Paul writes to Titus and tells him to tell older women to teach younger women to love their families, be chaste, keepers at home, and take care of business. And then there are the children. And the children actually have a duty. Their duty is to obey your parents, according to Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we've got the husband-wife relationship. We've got the parent-child relationship. That's the family. And it's under attack from audio, video, and still photos, sexually explicit, which we call pornography. Pornography's effects on the home. First of all, just the general damage to the viewer. Anybody who watches it is going to be affected. What you see and what you hear affects you. It affects me. Counselors Bob and Shay Roop say that habitual users tend to be, they give kind of a psychological profile. Habitual users of pornography tend to be people already suffering emotionally. That's interesting. Pornography, they say, inflicts more damage to their psyche. People already bothered by something, maybe they're missing something in their lives emotionally, or they've got issues they need to deal with. They tend to become addicted to pornography. So you've got a person already maybe needing help who's getting into further trouble. Listen to this quote. A person caught in the web of pornography is someone who fears rejection at all costs, has anxiety about true intimacy and commitment, and can only be comfortable with superficial connection. Their behavior causes self-loathing, shame, a feeling of unforgivable badness, and immense pain. Intimacy and commitment. People who use pornography tend to have issues here. They don't like intimacy, or they have trouble with it and committing to someone. Well, you've got to have intimacy and commitment for a successful marriage. There's no more intimate relationship on the earth than husband-wife. That's why Jesus said, two become one in Matthew 19. Two become one. One mind, one aim, one purpose, one goal. Working together, side by side, two become one. There's nothing more intimate than that. But people who use pornography tend to have issues here. And a lot of those people are married. And do you think it's making their intimacy any better with their spouse? Their behavior feeds a bad self-image. This definition says these people already have a bad concept of themselves, but watching the pornography tends to create feelings of self-loathing, shame, unforgivable badness, and pain. Not the psychological characteristics of a sound individual. Certainly not good characteristics to bring into a marriage or to go about raising children. A healthy self-concept is necessary for a healthy husband-wife relationship and parent-child relationship. But according to Bob and Shay Roop's definition, people who are addicted to pornography already have issues, and then watching it over and over and hearing these images over and over only increases their trouble. And it's going to cause more and more trouble in their marriages and with the kids. Specifically, damage to the husband-wife relationship. One author who is cited in the chapter in the book says that images and experiences of pornography are burned into the mind by hormones released when material is viewed. Part of the reason that pornography is addictive is because it does seem to have a physiological effect on the body, that when people view these salacious images, hormones are released. And it's as though you're taking a CD of your favorite music and a blank CD, and you put it into the machine and you burn the images of one onto the other to get a copy. One author says when you view this material, those images cause a release of hormones which are burning these images into your mind. And the hormonal mix allegedly becomes stronger when depictions of sex involve violence and fear. Why is it so often, especially in those stupid horror movies, and in a lot of the worst websites, you've got violence and fear coupled with sex? It makes the hormonal response even stronger. And of course, if you view and hear these things, it's going to make the effects being burned into your mind even stronger, longer lasting. So you can't just take a magnet and erase like you can with a video or audio tape. They're there. What are you going to do with those things? So, if you watch images of violent sex and those hormones are burning these images into your mind, you are then going to tend to link sex with violence and fear. Well, now sex in its proper place, the marriage, is fine. You don't want to bring in violence and fear into what is, rightly put, a wholesome relationship. And we wonder why people like this evil, I creep up on the term human because he's barely that, this Portwood character down in Purcell, who killed that innocent little 10-year-old girl, had these fantasies of cannibalism and sexual abuse. And guess what? He'd watch pornography. Violence and fear linked with sex. And that's what husbands are watching. And that's what our children are watching. But the results of pornography seem especially harmful in the husband-wife relationship, of course, for wives, because the husbands are watching, the wives are the victims. It creates a world of fantasy and unfair expectations for women. Look, a lot of joking goes on TV and among husbands and wives about this fact, but it is true that a woman, for whatever reason, it may be she has had to clean up messy diapers and vomit all day. She may have spent all night rocking a colicky child. So come evening, she just wants to take a bath and go to bed. The husband may desire intimacy. She may not feel like it. That happens. Well, you don't give me what I want. I've got a computer. I'll get it there. You don't give me what I want? Well, there's a video store down the road, or it's about time I subscribe to a few magazines. Husbands can get the idea that wives are there to serve their physical desires. Because after all, every time they go to the internet, those bare-chested and bare-everything-else models are there just waiting on them. Just waiting. Now, in real-life situations, that doesn't happen because sometimes I watch TV shows, and whether it's a movie or a TV show, you can't get away from it, it seems. There's always the husband and wife, and there's just all this amorous activity, and I have to ask myself, do these people have children? Do they have jobs? Well, husbands can get the idea. That's what a wife is there for. And it creates all these unrealistic, unfair expectations that the wife is there to serve their physical desires. And if the wife doesn't give them what they want, they'll go get it somewhere else. It reinforces this idea that the woman is there to serve him. It's virtual sex on demand. And women who are paid to perform in videos or pose for magazines, and make no mistake, they're being paid. It's all about money in the pornography industry. They're making boatloads of money. That's why it's everywhere. And women who are paid to pose, women who are paid to do these things, why, they're more than happy to always be there for the men who are paying the bill. But then that idea can carry over into the husband-wife relationship, and that's the sort of thing the husband expects of the wife. Well, they're always there for me. Why aren't you? And if you won't give me what I want, I'll go get it somewhere. That's not fair. That's not fair to a wife. But that idea can be there. So sometimes men opt for acceptance in a fantasy world rather than risk rejection in the real world from a real person. Remember that definition of those who tend to be addicted to pornography? They tend to be people who already have trouble with commitment and intimacy. Well, I could risk a real relationship, or I could risk being rejected again by my wife, but I don't like that, because I can't deal with that very well. But I know if I turn on the computer, or go rent the movie, or buy the magazine, I know those ladies will be there. They're not going to turn me down. They make me feel like a man. And that's what so many wives are up against. So women suffer emotional isolation from their husbands. There's a focus on the physical that's inherent in pornography that may lead him to treat his wife as an object and refuse to meet his wife's emotional needs. That's part of the intimacy of a husband and wife relationship. There's so much emotionalism involved in that relationship. And part of seeing to your spouse's needs and putting them first is meeting their emotional and psychological needs, which is one thing that people who are in junior high and high school and college need to understand when you look for a mate. You can't just look for the pretty face or the fat wallet. You need to look for somebody who is willing to put you ahead of themselves and meet your emotional and psychological needs. Men who want to watch sex all the time, men who want to treat their wives as objects, are not worried about their wives' emotional needs. They're worrying about their own physical needs. That's why pornography can so desperately come between husband and wife. It drives an enormous wedge between husbands and wives. And I noted some of that, I think, in the manuscript that I turned in for the book. When husbands view their wives only as a means of physical gratification, when they're not concerned about their wives' physical or spiritual or emotional needs, that is not the biblical love the Bible tells us we need to have. Husbands, love your wives. How? Even as Christ loved the church, He died for it. Older women need to teach younger women to love their husbands and their children, according to Titus chapter 2. Love one another. And that doesn't mean just like one another or feel good about one another. W.E. Vine says that picture of love is do what's in the best interest of the other. And when husbands watch pornography, or wives, that's not Bible love. And virtual infidelity can easily lead to an actual affair. People meet online in chat rooms and go run off together, but is there anybody who in their right mind would deny what I'm about to say? If a husband watches other women besides his wife undress or perform sexually over and over, is there anybody who would deny that that can easily lower the inhibitions and lead to an actual in-person affair? Well, of course it can. Of course it can lead to that. Virtual infidelity can easily lead to leaving. Pornography drives a wedge between spouses, even if it is consensual. Now think about this. A husband and wife, they say, we're committed to one another. We're not playing the field. We're faithful to each other. But they say, you know, we've been married a while and things are just, they've cooled off a little bit. They decide they want to watch a video before becoming intimate with each other to spice things up. Is that a good idea? Well, some researchers took a look at that and addressed this. And according to the research I saw, this is a really bad idea. One author argues that a husband and wife, if they watch a video before an evening of intimacy, they may be going through the physical motions then with one another, but in their minds, they're with the person they just saw. If Bible love involves giving yourself for the best of another, then certainly the concept of making love should involve spouses concerned for the other. But if your mind is on the actor or actress you just saw, your wife is just a piece of meat there for your gratification. You're not worried about her at all. You're not even thinking about her. Sacrificial love is Bible love. What about damage to the children? 1998, there was a federal suit, Playboy Entertainment Group versus the United States of America. I think it involved the Telecommunications Act of 1996. A federal suit in 1998 in which a psychiatrist testified, quote, "All children who view televised pornography are at some risk for emotional disturbance." It seems to me that in the last several years, we have seen an enormous surge in psychological and emotional problems. A psychiatrist testified that all children who view televised pornography are at some risk for emotional disturbance. These include anxiety, nightmares, changes in attitudes, and modeling behavior. And according to one unpublished study, this really surprised me. Because we've probably all heard that those who are sexually abused as children are more likely to become abusers themselves when they're adults, right? According to one unpublished study, however, sexually reactive behaviors are more likely displayed by children viewing pornography than those sexually abused. Those watching it with others are more likely to reproduce the behavior than those who have against their will engaged in those actions. That's how damaging pornography is to children. They see it and they do it. They hear it and they do it. Take a look at that chapter in the manuscript, and I think I included some material there that's really surprising, and I think I left out some more that was even more surprising that I just was too depressed to put in. Watching pornography can encourage sexual activity by children, even if the parents actively teach against this. Josh brought up a great point in his sermon. Well, he brought up several, but I'm going to point out one great point. 7-8 hours a day at school, 4 or 5 hours a day watching TV, nights and weekends you're with the friends, and you're being influenced by the world. Even if your mom and dad are good folks, even if they try to teach you right, even if they take you to every service of the church, that's still only 4 hours. Every service of the church is only about 4 hours a week. For some kids, that's the amount of TV they watch in one day. Who's going to have a greater impact on them? Even if you try to teach your children against pornography, look, this is wrong. You can't do that. I don't want you to do that. You're not going to do that. Because they are around so many other influences, they can still easily see it. And pornography is one of those things that, especially with kids of, 10 to 14, that prepubescent, early pubescent stage, when they see some of these things and the hormones are released and it burns those images in, it can take a hold of them. It can take a hold of them. So even if you teach them against it, if they're around other people who allow them to see it, or if they see it somewhere else, they can still be influenced by it. That's why we've got to be vigilant with what our kids see and hear. Well, that's the problem. Are there any solutions to the problem? Well, I've got a few suggestions. First of all, an ounce of prevention is worth about a truckload of cure. If at all possible, prevent it. How do you prevent yourself, your spouse, or your child from becoming addicted and influenced by pornography? Well, if TV is a problem, you can get rid of it. Or you can make sure you've only got certain channels. I don't know why anybody who has children would want some of these satellite and cable channels coming into their home. You can prevent that. Internet access. I'm going to save that. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. If you are addicted, I don't know, there may be somebody here who is, I don't know. If you are addicted to pornography, number one, you've got to quit. If you love your spouse, if you love your child, if you love yourself, if you love God, quit. You can get help with professional counseling. You can talk to a trusted friend. You can talk to an elder, a preacher. Get help. Quit. And number two, and I think this is key as well, examine your life and see what is missing or what's wrong. I mentioned earlier that those who become addicted to pornography already have some issues. Now, I'm no trained psychiatrist or psychologist, but it seems to me, just based on what I've observed, that people who are addicted to pornography are trying to fill their lives with it because they're missing something else. Maybe something traumatic happened, the death of a parent. Maybe you were abused as a child. Maybe, I don't know. But examine your own life and see what it is that is missing or so wrong in your life that you're trying to fill it with all this trash. Because you can say, I'm going to quit today and never do it again, but if you've got psychological or emotional problems that you don't deal with, it's so easy for the problem to come back when the lectureship's over or when you're not around the preacher anymore. And then number three, this may seem draconian to some, you don't have to have internet service in your home. If you've got a problem, Jesus said it's better to cut off your hand if it's causing you to sin and enter into life with only one hand than to let that hand lead you to hell. Same with the eye. Same with the foot. He's not talking about physical mutilation. He's talking about get rid of anything in your life that's making you sin. If the internet is in your home and you're addicted to pornography, you can get rid of the internet or get filters. Or have a self-imposed policy that you're only going to surf the net when your spouse is with you. Children, this amazes me that there are 15-year-old kids who can stay up until midnight on MySpace.com putting pictures of themselves in their underwear on there, talking about the fantasies they're having. Where are their parents? Why do these kids have access, unfettered apparently, access to the internet? With all the sexual predators out there, with all the pornography out there, and all the trouble that's come, why are teenagers and kids even younger than that allowed to roam the net without supervision? That makes no sense. So if you've got kids, either get rid of internet access in your home or you make sure they don't log on unless you're over their shoulder. And then wait on them to call you mean and talk about how Billy Bob down the street has access. Well, you tell them you love them more than Billy Bob's parents love him. Because that's the truth. If your spouse is addicted, confront him or her. Talk to him. Explain it's wrong. Explain that it hurts you. And say, husband, this hurts me. This is something that's only supposed to be between you and me, and you're getting this kind of gratification from other women. That hurts me. And if you love me, you'll stop. Confront them. Discuss it with them, and then seek a solution. The greatest sermon ever recorded is the Sermon on the Mount. And in the midst of it, Jesus says, you've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee, for it's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and that thy whole body, or than that thy whole body, should be cast into hell. Wives, if you don't like your husbands looking at the lady down on the corner with a leering eye, why do you let him do it on a computer screen for hours on end? Men, quit doing it. It's better to get rid of whatever is causing you to sin. It's better to get rid of what is ever coming between you and your spouse. It's better to get rid of whatever could cause your child to grow up with a warped view of sexuality, a warped view of the husband-wife relationship, and a warped view with what they ought to be allowed to do to other people's bodies. It's better to get rid of whatever may cause that. That's exactly what Jesus is teaching in that passage in Matthew 5, verses 27 through 30. Sex and sexuality have their place. It's in the marriage. One man, one wife. That's it. When men and women seek stimulation and gratification outside of marriage, there's a problem. There's going to be emotional distance. They're going to drift away from each other. It leads to seeking others in person. And when children see porn, it alters their development. Sexual assaults seemingly are on the rise and have been for several years. Can there be any doubt that there's a correlation between that and the amount of skin we're seeing on billboards and magazines and TV shows and on the internet too? Sexuality unleashed and unhinged is what pornography is and what it produces. No good thing. If pornography is a problem, it's better to remove it than to destroy your family or destroy yourself in hell. And if you're here this morning and you're not yet a child of God, we need to put first things first, and you need to become one. Because until you've obeyed the gospel, you're still lost. You need to believe the gospel message that God exists, that He has a Son who He sent to the earth to live and die as a man so you wouldn't have to, but that He rose from the grave. He sits in heaven, reigning over His kingdom, the church, ready to save you from your sins. If you believe that message and you're willing to repent, that is, change your life about pornography or about apathy or about whatever else that comes between you and God, if you're ready to repent, if you're willing to confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and if you're willing to go down into a baptistry full of water, you'll come up saved. You'll have a new life. You'll be a new creature. Your sins will be washed away. And if you'll live faithfully for the rest of your life, avoiding the immorality that's all around us, taking care of your family, serving and worshiping God the way He wants you to, if you do that, you'll live forever. And that's a pretty good bargain. And if you need to do that, you need to come now while we stand and sing.